See that. Proverbs, just remain seated. We'll read our verse. Proverbs chapter 19, and we're going to read verse 21. The Bible says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, look what it says here, that shall stand. The counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Let's have prayer and then we'll get into the message. Father, it's such a blessing to be together with our church family. It's such a blessing to know that when we open your word, we're going to hear from you and that we're going to be guided on a path that is unlike anything in this world. And I just pray that you would give us a clear direction and give us peace and give us courage and strength to take steps of obedience as you lead. And with it, Lord, I pray that you'd get the glory. Lord, there's probably some people here who are going to need to make some important decisions, not only in the next week, in the next couple of weeks, but absolutely in the next several months, some big decisions. I think about these teams and some of the decisions they'll be making in the next 2 to 3 to 5 years that'll be life-altering, set them on a path that'll set the direction for the entire rest of their life. And the simple principle from this message tonight could get them on a path that they would look back and know in any number of years and say, I'm so glad that I made this decision. And so I pray that you'd help us to see it tonight and give you glory in it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Bible says in our verse that there are many devices in a man's heart. Devices. Devices is an interesting word. It basically means the thoughts that we think, the ideas that we have. So when you have a thought, like I have an idea, or I have this thought, and this is, you know, how we're going to roll things out, how we're going to move forward is with this thought. That's a device. You could say it like this. You could say purposes. There's many purposes in the heart of man, things that motivate us. So when you look forward and you're making a decision today and you're looking forward, you're thinking of the purposes, the goals or the ambitions or the reason why you're making these decisions, and this motivates us. And these are things that are in our mind. These are devices. It could be inventions. The word devices could mean inventions. And so it's things that we produce or develop. It's like a strategy. A device could be an invention of a strategy on how to accomplish something or how to do whatever it is that's in our mind. The Bible says there are many devices. In our verse, it says there are many devices in a man's heart. Now, I was thinking of this, and I couldn't help but think of why did Solomon write this? Solomon's writing this because Israel would be facing decision after decision. And on a corporate level, if you think about Israel as a nation, Solomon would have wanted them to understand that in the process of making decisions, there's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of devices. There's a lot of ideas and thoughts and ways of doing things. There's a lot of inventions that have been produced and how to deal with issues and strategies that have been put out there and how to accomplish things in your life. There's a lot of things out there. And so Solomon would have known that about the nation of Israel, and he would have wanted them to understand that there's a lot of things they're going to have to sort through in making decisions as a nation, but then it would have filtered all the way down to the family as well. We could say the tribe, but it could all the way come down to the family, where families need to make decisions. Families need to set themselves on a path. And in the process of getting your family where it needs to be, Solomon would have understood that there's a lot of different inventions and ideas and thoughts and strategies and opinions out there on how a family should go. And they would have to sort of organize and sort through all of that to make a decision. But then it would filter from the family all the way down to individuals, where individuals within the family would have to make their own decisions about the path that they're going to be on. And because Solomon knew that there would be a host of different ideas out there, that would just sort of get into the process that it would make things so cloudy that Israel would have a hard time seeing the right path. They would have a hard time seeing the right direction. Like, which one's the right way to go? Like, there's so many things that we could do with this. There's so many opinions that are coming our way on how to deal with this. You know, I'm struggling to see the right one because it's pretty cloudy in the process. And you know, whenever you look at Israel's history, it was like that, wasn't it? How many times were, when we read about the nation of Israel, they're needing to make a decision about a direction or a path, and they listen to the wrong influence. And how many times have you been reading your Bible and you're thinking, no, don't do that? And if you've read your Bibles many times and you know what's coming, but you still are amazed that it happened. Why are you listening to them? Why are you listening to this influence? Think about Korah. We've been hearing a lot about Korah, haven't we? Remember Sunday morning last Sunday? And by the way, I'm going to say, Brother Decker, he brought it. And so with those messages, and he started off, and he was fire Sunday school. And he said something in that lesson that I did not know about the Psalms. And maybe you're like, well, I knew that. Okay, well, put a notch in your belt. I didn't know. And it was that the sons of Korah had psalms that were written and devoted to them. Well, who are the sons of Korah? Remember the story of Korah in Numbers 16 when Korah rose up in this rebellious sort of spirit against Moses? And you know, so I'm not going to rehash the whole thing. We've been talking about it. In fact, we were at lunch eating Famous Dave's on Thursday. Wait, it wasn't lunch. It was supper because I ate 4 hot dogs for lunch that day. And I was like, why did I do that? Because then I didn't feel good, which is, you know, what you could expect. And then I didn't want any Famous Dave, so I gave it to somebody. But while we were sitting there, I gave you some details you didn't need. But now you have the, you know, I want you to feel like you're there, right? Contact. I want you to feel like you're there, right? So Brother Dean's there, and Brother Abel's is there, Brother Tim's there, and we're just sort of, I feel like we're in the Hall of Faith right there. I'm like, man, I just want to be here, you know? And so Brother Dean starts talking, and lo and behold, he starts talking about the sons of Korah. I'm like, I wanted to say something. I just heard about that on Sunday school, and now you're saying it right now. I'm like, whoa. It was like this light showed up, you know. I'm like, oh, I got to talk about it now because I feel like I have this amazing new knowledge. So he talks about the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah experienced the mercy of God because their ancestor, father, grandfather, patriarch, he did something really dumb. And he rebelled against the man of God. He said, well, you know, I think maybe anybody could be as smart as you are. I mean, I'm putting my own words there. But, you know, he's rebelling against Moses. And here's what Moses says. Okay, well, we're going to go to God about this. And we're going to find out who's on the right path. And if it's you, then God will take me out. And if it's me, then God will take you out. So you go over there and go over there a little further, a little bit further. Okay, a little bit more. Okay, all right, you stay. Can you? Okay, there, you're ready to go. And what happened? The Bible says the earth opened up like a mouth. And I can't help but remember this Nintendo game we were playing, Contra, whenever the Contra Force, not Force, the second one, Super Contra. And whenever on the like the fourth or fifth level, y'all are loving this, right? Okay. You're going through and the earth, the ground just opens up and it's like teeth and then it just swallows you, you know? Every time I read that, I imagine that video game, even though that's probably not what it was. But the Bible says the earth opened up and swallowed Korah, but not just Korah. Everybody he had influenced to follow him. And that's what I wanted you to see here. There were people who teamed up with Korah in the nation of Israel and said, yeah, Moses doesn't know what he's talking about. Okay, go over there with Korah. No, a little further. Just keep going. Okay. And he had this group of people, and they rebelled against God, and then they were swallowed. Why would they do that? Because there were devices, and they had to figure out which opinion or which idea was who's the one who's right about this. Who? And so because of all of these opinions and devices, they had to pick which one they were going to listen to, and they picked Korah. And Israel had a tendency to do that. I want to show you one more. Now keep your finger, put a ribbon or something right here because we're going to come back to Proverbs, but go to 1 Kings with me, chapter 22. I was thinking that I would just you know, read this to you, but this is so incredible. You have to see it. 1 Kings 22. Now, I saw this in my Bible reading last week, just reading, you know, in my chronological journal, and I'm reading through, and I got to this. And what's happening is in Israel's history here is you have King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat, and they sort of team up, which, by the way, they generally weren't like allies, but they would team up here to go against the Assyrians. And in this, they were seeking counsel, they were seeking guidance on, you know, are we going to win this conflict or are we going to lose this conflict? How's it going to go? By the way, I mean, it is wise, right, before you go into war that you would seek counsel about the forces that you're going against, and do you have the forces, do you have the ability to win this conflict? I mean, do we have good strategy? I mean, so it's not an unwise thing to seek counsel, but I want you to see what, as Jehoshaphat is saying, is there a man of God that we can talk to? Because, I mean, I think before we do this, as God's people, we should probably talk to a man of God. And there had been a lot, there had been men of God who had been telling Ahab, and by the way, if you're a priest or a man of God who was going to counsel Ahab and you told him something that he didn't want to hear, then it could be that it's over for you. So what ended up happening was, is men of God were just telling Ahab what he wanted to hear because they didn't want to die. So there was all these men of God, and they were just telling Ahab, what is it that Ahab wants to hear? Okay, then that's what's going to happen, even though it probably isn't what's going to happen. That's what they were telling Ahab. Well, Jehoshaphat, I think, kind of figured out what was happening. He's like, is there a man of God out there who won't just tell us what we want to hear, but he's going to tell us what is actually from God, whether we want to hear it or not? Well, look at verse 8. The king of Israel said in Jehoshaphat, that the king is Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, there's yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Well, Ahab, I mean, he's the man of God and we can talk to him, right? Yes. But I hate him. Well, why do you hate him? Well, look what he says. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. So you know, I don't like him because he hurts my feelings. Okay. Well, Jehoshaphat's like, okay. Verse 9, the king of Israel called the officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. So here comes the man of God. And now I want you to jump down and look at verse 14. Because this is where the rubber hit the road. I love this guy, by the way. Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, what did he say next? That will I speak. That's what a man of God is, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
A man of God is a guy who knows what God wants him to say, and then he doesn't look at evaluate the crowd and think, oh no, Misty's here. I can't say this. He doesn't do that.
Right.
What does God want him to say? And then he says it. That's a man of God. He brought it, brought the word. But do you know the attitude that Ahab had? That's what Israel's attitude often was. They wanted a man who told them what they wanted to hear and not what God truly said. You know, they have ideas, they have opinions, they have all of these, you know, ways that they anticipate or expect things to be, and we want a man of God that's going to tell us the way that it, you know, that we want it to be. It's like this song, don't tell me, how's that song go? don't tell me how I want it to be, but tell me how it is, you know, preacher, tell me how it is. That's what Israel didn't want, you know. That's how it is today, isn't it, in the world generally. When you go to a church and you'll have churches that are all around that just want a pastor to tell you, like, what you want to hear. And unfortunately, there's a lot of churches that are just crumbling from within because they do not have a man of God who will stand up and say what God has said. Thus saith the Lord. This is the truth. This is the message. This is what God has said. And because of that, now we have opinions that are, in our own hearts, in our own mind. We devise these strategies. We devise these ideas in our own mind. And then we make decisions based upon all of the ideas that we've developed and produced and strategies that we've developed and produced in our own minds. And then we have to sort through those before we make decisions. Did you know that's a challenge that we have, is to sort through all the devices of our own mind, of our own making, of our own thinking? Is there anybody in here who doesn't have decision after decision after decision to make? You say, well, I got decisions every day, you know. I mean, am I going to go to work or not? Okay, yeah. I mean, sometimes we have easy decisions. Am I going to wear deodorant? Now, for some of us, that is not a hard decision. But unfortunately, for some people, that is a hard decision to make. It shouldn't be, but it is. So there's a lot of little things that aren't hard decisions. But isn't it true that there are some hard decisions that we need to make? Like, what am I going to do with my family on this particular issue when God's dealing with me about it? And we need to remove ourselves out of this context, because this isn't a good environment for us. And, you know, what about what the family will think? Or what about what, you know, the people that we associate in this context? What if we move our families out of this, and what are they going to think, you know, about it? So we have hard decisions to make sometimes. And so what ends up happening, because we have small decisions, we have hard decisions, is we just try to figure out what's going to make the best sense to us. Or we try to figure out what's going to cause the least friction. How many of you love conflict? Raise your hand. There's a couple of you. Okay. You're not being... Anyway. We don't like conflict. So what do? Because we don't like conflict, path of least resistance, man. What can I do that will cause the least amount of ripple effect? And that's what we're going to roll with. You know, I'm going to just do what they want me to do, because I do not want to deal with the aftermath of it. Give her what she wants. You know, we don't want to deal with the aftermath of telling her, don't tell her no, or don't tell him no. And so we make decisions not based upon what God is saying, but we're making decisions based upon the devices of our own heart. Like, what makes the best sense, or what causes the least friction? What's the easiest thing to do? That's what we're gonna do. Or what? How is this gonna? And so we try to forecast. How is this best gonna turn out? And then this is what we can do, and it'll turn out the best if we do this. And I've got it all planned out. It's just gonna be great. And then we do it. But we've got all these plans, these devices, and it's hard to make decisions when you don't know what to do, right? And you've got all these things that you're trying to pick from that are in your heart, and you're trying to satisfy that feeling that you're having. But did you know that you're not just fighting with the devices of your own heart? Did you know that let's put in the pot, because there's a whole lot of other opinions out there that are mixed in with this too. Not just your own, the devices of your own heart, but the opinions of the people around you, who they seem to know a whole lot about what you should be doing and not doing. And so they're going to insert their opinions. And they're going to say, you know, I think I know what you should be doing on this situation. You have a family member who's close to you and loves you. And we don't question that. We don't question whether our family loves us or not, in some cases. Or maybe in their minds has our best interest at heart. And then they tell us what we should or shouldn't be doing. And so now, not only are we dealing with all the emotions and devices of our own thinking and of our own making, but now we have the devices and the opinions and the inventions and the ideas of the people out there that are in our life, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our family, people that are in our lives, and they have something to say about it. And you know what? You add all that together, you put an equation together, and you have all these things that are in your mind, which sometimes is so stinking overwhelming you can't even sleep at night. And then you mix into it, oh, well, what about what they said, and what about what they think, and what about, you know, it kind of makes sense, right? And you mix all of it together, here's what we have. It's hard to know what to do sometimes. It's hard to know the right path. You're just trying to like organize it enough so that you make a sensible decision at all. Or you could just throw it in the air and in the air like people do generally today and say, I'm just going to follow my heart, which is even worse. Solomon knew that that was the case. Solomon knew that that was the struggle that we often have. Nation of Israel would have it, and it filters all the way down to you and me. And so you know what he says? I'm going to make this easy for you. I'm going to give you a solution to this that's going to simplify it. So it's going to simplify this process so much so that you're not going to struggle with it at all. Are you ready for it? Well, it's in our verse in Proverbs. You'll have to go back to Proverbs. Look what he said, verse 21. He said, there are many devices in a man's heart. So we get it. A lot of things that are contributing to our decision-making process in our own heart and in the opinions of the people around us. But here's what he said. Here's how you deal with it. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Oh, man. So whenever Solomon said here, the counsel of the Lord, he's talking about the Lord's opinion, the Lord's thought, the Lord's idea. And then he said this, he said God's ideas about our decisions in life, he said these are the ones that stand. So meaning that you can trust, you can know this, that when you follow God's plan, when you put your faith in what God is telling you to do or not to do in the decisions that we need to make in life, that we can trust that down the road, the decision that God has led us to do is the one that's going to stand the test. It's going to stand the test of time. It's going to stand the test of trials. God's decision, God's leadership in our life. His counsel, His guidance. It says, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Do you know what that means? It means that you don't have, whenever you have God's directions, you don't have a lot of other opinions to sort through to try to figure out the right thing to do. When you have God's direction for your choices, you just have one. You don't have to sort through and figure out which one's the right one because there's just one. God's direction for you. What does God want me to do? It clears it up, doesn't it? It kind of makes all the confusion go away. It sort of makes it easy whenever we say, okay, so what does God want me to do? And then God says, or clearly says, or there's a principle that clearly directs us, this is what God wants us to do. Then whenever we put our faith in that, the decision-making process is simplified. It's cleared up. All the confusion's gone. Because we know God's way, God's plan, His directions will stand. He doesn't have a lot of them. And so, when we put our faith in Him, it just makes the whole process simple. You say, Pastor, whenever you made a decision to be faithful to church, do you remember that? Actually, I do. This is sort of ironic, but I didn't have a choice to be faithful to church whenever I was a teenager because I was with Mom, and Mom was like, you're going to church. But there was a point whenever I was in high school, and this was before I was fully surrendered to be a pastor, that I was on my way to church, and it dawned on me that if I really didn't want to go to church tonight, then I didn't have to. But I wanted to. And so it was the one time I remember when I decided I want to be faithful. Was that a hard decision to be faithful? Was it a hard decision to go to Heartland Baptist Bible College for me? Was it a hard decision for me to, like Brother Tim, when you said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'll do it. That was hard for me too. Because I was afraid God was going to call me to be a missionary. I didn't want to be a mission. Like, I didn't want to be a foreign missionary. And so I was nervous. I wanted to be a pastor. I wanted to be whatever God wanted me to be, unless he wanted me to be a missionary. And then I did. I was so nervous. I didn't even want to do this. I was afraid. Maybe you're like this. I was afraid, well, if I go to the altar and I say, Lord, okay, I'll be a missionary, then the Lord says, good, I'm going to send you to the Congo. You know, I'm like, no! You know, I was afraid of that. And I remember the day whenever God just made it so clear to me that just trust me. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Whatever you want me to do. Question, was it hard to do that? Was it hard whenever I knew that the Lord wanted me to break up with this girl that I knew he didn't want me to get married to? Was it hard for me when God says, I want you to move to St. Joseph, Missouri from Oklahoma? I want you, you grew up in Oklahoma, you're on staff at a church, and I want you to move to a church where you're not going to be on staff, and I don't know what the future is going to look like, and you don't really know very many people there, and you're moving like way far away from where you grew up. Was that a hard decision? Was it a hard decision to say to Brother Marshall, God, I believe God wants me to be a pastor? And Brother Marshall said, I think that God's doing this. And I said, oh no. I thought you would say, I'm not ready. He said, I think you're ready. Where do you want to go? I said, I don't know. I mean, basically I said, I don't know. And he said, well, what'd you pray about Fall City? Okay. And I didn't pray for it. He said, pray for 2 weeks. And I didn't pray. It was the day before my two-week meeting with Brother Marshall, and I was supposed to be praying for 2 weeks, and I never prayed once. And I was like, well, I can't lie to him and say I did pray, and I didn't. So on Saturday, the day before my meeting with him, I knelt down and prayed one time, Lord, do you want me to go to Fall City? I was like, yes. I knew you were going to say that. That's why I didn't pray for 2 weeks. And then I prayed like one real fast one. Lord, do you want me to? Yes. Was all of that hard? Do you know there's parts of that stuff that's hard? But do you know what wasn't hard? It wasn't hard to know what God wanted me to do. Everything that I just told you, I knew exactly what God wanted me to do. I knew he wanted me to be faithful to church. I knew he wanted me to go to Heartland. I knew he wanted me to break up with that girl. I knew he wanted me to come to St. Joe. I knew he wanted me to come to Fall City. There's only one thing that makes decisions like this hard. And it's whenever in your heart you're struggling with obedience and faith in what God is asking you to do. There's a lot of opinions out here. There's opinions in your own mind. There's opinions in your own heart. There's opinions of family and friends and neighbors and coworkers. Endless. How did Solomon say it? Many devices in a man's heart. Many devices. Lots of opinions. Lots of counsel. Lots of ideas. Lots. But do you know what makes this whole thing simple? What removes all of the fog and clouds, clears it up? The counsel of the Lord. If you will just decide that you'll get this. If you will just decide that you're going to stop listening to all the voices around you and just listen to one voice, then all of the struggle in your decision-making process will just go away. Because only one voice matters. Only one voice matters. What does God want you to do? And then you decide, you know what? I'm just going to believe God. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to believe Him. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, whenever I know what you're asking me to do, and then I agree with it and I feel safe about it. You know, I feel okay with it, and I'll take it. No. I trust you, Lord. Well, I don't know what you're wanting me to do yet. That's okay, because I trust the Lord. And I'm going to follow Him, because I know that His Word will stand. It'll stand the test of time, just like the kids sing. And we can trust it, and we can have faith in it. And you know what? It takes a lot of the anxieties out of our life. The only anxieties you feel is the anxiety you have before you trust the Lord. Like, well, what if I hurt so-and-so's feelings? Or what if I do this? And what about this? And we think about all these devices and all this stuff. We're trying to make all the strings, you know, attached. But it's a spider web, isn't it? And whenever you click one thing, it affects everything else. And you're afraid how it's all going to work out. And you're trying to strategize and keep everything together and keep everybody happy. But you'll never be able to do that. And you don't even have to. Just set all that stuff aside. You know what? Let me just do what God wants me to do. And God will take care of the rest. What does God want you to do? And just say, you know what? I'm going to listen to His voice, and I'm going to let Him figure out how it all fits together, and then it'll stand. It'll stand in the test of time. Israel is a picture of who we typically are, aren't they? And we just slap our forehead, don't we, when we see Israel do dumb stuff. Like, what are you doing? Why would you go with Korah? What are you doing? Jehoshaphat is, you know, he understands, but Ahab, what are you doing here? Well, I hate him. He doesn't tell me what I want to hear. No, no, no. What does God say? That's what we need to hear. And then we need to have faith. And we can trust. His way is the best. You can trust it. I want to say one thing and then we're going to be done. I'm concerned that some of us are not doing some things we should be doing because we've convinced ourselves or we're listening to somebody we shouldn't be listening to. I'm concerned tonight, listen, that some of us are doing some things that we should not be doing and not doing some things we should be doing because we're listening to the devices of our own heart and we're listening to the devices of the people around us. And we're not just saying, you know what? I'm going to believe God. God said it, I'm going to do it. And that's enough for me. If you'll just set all those other opinions aside, even your own, and just trust God and do what He says, then you can know that as you move forward, you are standing on solid ground, not shaky ground. You are standing on firm ground that will last forever. And put you on the right path. And you know what? You'll look back like I did yesterday, and I don't want to embarrass my wife or myself. I typically do, but anyway. I said to her the other day, was it yesterday or the day before? I can't remember. Anyway, I said to her, I said, I cannot believe how much I enjoy my life. I cannot believe this. Do we not have trials and things? Yeah, of course we do. I know that my life isn't like, okay, so we'll all be like Pastor. And that's not the point. But I know that if you just follow the Lord, then you're going to be able to look back and say, man, I am so glad that I just did what God wanted me to do instead of what I was feeling or what everybody else was doing. I just did what God wanted me to do. You're going to look back and you're going to say, man, I am so glad I did that because I am walking on such sure and steady and strong and firm ground in my life right now that I just can't even believe how incredible this is. God is a good God. Just look what God's doing in Fall City. This is pretty amazing, isn't it? And we're walking on firm ground. I feel like our church as a whole, and I'm telling you, we have the sweetest church in the world. I can't imagine that there's a church sweeter than this. It'd be hard for me to. Am I wrong about that? I mean, I'm being serious. I'm having trouble figuring out how a church could be better than this one. And just imagine that. Use that as a sort of a metaphor of what God could do in your life. Just keep walking on the right path. And you're going to look back and you're say, it just keeps getting better. Firm ground. One word and then we're done. Just one voice matters. That's your point tonight. Just one voice matters. Just one voice matters. And it's God's. That's the only one that matters. Father, I pray that You'd help us to stand firm in You in this very critical thought and point that of all the opinions and all the devices and all the feelings and all the different emotions and things that go into decision making and why we do and don't do what we do. Where we're scared, we're nervous, we're anxious, we're battling with the feelings of people who are telling us what we should and shouldn't do. We're battling with trying to please everybody. We're trying to keep all the plates spinning and just sort of stressed out all the time. And not everybody's that way, but some of us are. I just pray that you'd help us to just simplify this whole thing and just sort of set everything aside and decide that the only thing that really matters is what you say. And that if we just keep walking on that path in obedience to you and faith in you, then we're standing on strong ground. And nothing can destroy, nothing can take away what we know you're doing as we follow you in obedience. So I pray that you guide us in your path. There might be somebody tonight who's just been listening to the wrong voices, their own heart, or the people around them, and they just need to say, you know, I need to set this all aside, and I just need to just say, you know what, Lord? It's just you, and that's all I need. Would you help them to do that tonight, please? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.